Welcome, folks. Ryan Larson here, Mount Mary University. First ever podcast for Mount Mary. I'm joined by AD Mark Heidorf. How are you doing today, Coach?
It's a great day to be a Blue Angel.
Why's that?
That didn't sound planned at all, right?
No.
That was completely flu.
You had that in your pocket since the end of the season. You knew this was coming up.
I had it written in my hand just in case I forgot.
Well, too bad you're sweating. So, Coach, I'm going to have to ask you to take off your AD / coaching hat for a second. Talk to me a little bit about what's going on here at Mount Mary Athletics altogether.
Well, it's a great week for Mount Mary Athletics. It's that interesting time of year where the winter sport, you know, my sport basketball just ended, but softball's up and going now, and we really get a chance to focus on some of the things that get us out into the Mount Mary community. We talked about it this morning between NCAA Division III week coming up in April and then our banquet at the end of the year in May. It's a great time to really reflect and see where we've grown in this past year, and then also take a look at, okay, now what projects do we want to get going, and which ones do we want to put all of our resources into at this point?
All right, Coach. Now to change gears a little bit, we are talking about the changes going around all over campus and all over the athletic department, especially, and you do have a pretty big announcement as AD.
We do have a big announcement. For the first time since we've joined the NCAA, we're adding a new sport. I'm really excited to announce that we will be adding women's golf to the sports offered at the NCAA Division III collegiate level at Mount Mary, starting in fall 2015. So, yeah, it wasn't enough. You know, we didn't want to waste any time on it. So, yeah, already in 2015, recruiting has started for it, but we are making the official announcement. This is why you got to listen to the podcast, right?
Because this is why you got to tune in.
This is where news breaks.
This is where everything, the lifeblood of Mount Mary is happening right here. Coach, we're talking about golf here. We're going to open it up just a little bit. What does this mean, just adding a sport? Since we're NCAA now, I mean, we had equestrian back in 1920, and we lost that somehow. I was hoping that would be the next sport, but we added golf. But what does this really mean, not just for, you know, sports individually, but as the campus?
Well, I think it's really just a greater sign of growth in the athletic department. And the more, you know, be it right or wrong, athletics has a way of being that beacon for which other people learn about even the existence of your university. And, you know, by coming to campus and seeing something that we do in Blacko or now at the golf course or when we play softball games, you learn a little bit more about Mount Mary. You want to learn a little bit more. Now you come to campus, and we can be that beacon. So what golf does, what adding golf does, is first of all, it's an emerging sport. It's something, especially at a women's college, I think is incredibly important because golf kind of becomes that social tool that helps you in the business world. You know, how many times you have a golf outing with clients or your boss, and it's something that you can use to get that extra face time. So in addition to just being the competition and all the mental skills, especially with golf, that it takes to be successful and serves you later in life, there's that career aspect to it as well. So that's why we chose golf. But I think to see the athletic department growing and heading in the right direction, I mean, we're not subtracting sports. Our rosters aren't getting smaller. They're getting bigger now. Our staff is getting bigger. The things that we are doing from a promotional and marketing standpoint are getting bigger, and now it's led to us being able to support another sport. And so really that growth is what it signifies more than anything else.
Plus it gives you an opportunity to brush up on your Caddyshack and Happy Gilmore quotes.
Listen, there is no such thing as a bad reason to be bringing out Caddyshack quotes. Matter of fact, I think that's the first practice right there, isn't it?
Just going through the lines to make sure you know them.
Make sure you understand these jokes as I'm telling them, because nothing worse than hearing crickets after breaking out a Rodney Dangerfield line.
Well, you know, most of the kids who are going to be on the team probably weren't even alive when this was
probably nothing
on VHS for anything. So we got golf coming up, Coach. We also got a big softball trip. I know softball team looks forward to this every year. They're getting 10 games in a matter of a week, a little more than that, I think 12 actually. They're going up against Alverno of one. I know that's a big time rival for us. I want to call them a sister school, but clearly they're not.
No.
You understand what I mean, though.
I do. There's that sister like rivalry there.
Right. The women's all educational institution.
It's so big it can't be held in the state of Wisconsin. Right. You got to go down to Florida to get that taken care of.
It's just amazing. We're also going up against St. Joe's. We played them a couple times. But a lot of these teams we haven't even seen before, and if we have, it's been completely new rosters. So we know the softball team's really looking forward to that. Let's change gears just a little bit. Last week we announced all the Dean's List players for Mount Mary. What does it mean to you to have so many athletes? We had 17 of 53 student athletes make the Dean's List. What does that mean?
And the Dean's List, of course, you know, that 3.6 or higher. Well, the first thing it means is that all of these kids are smarter than I will ever be. I mean, that's first and foremost. But, you know, with us being NCAA Division III, and you hear this a lot, there's a lot of emphasis on the student athlete, you know, and capitalize the student in there. And I think our student athletes really epitomize that. They're students first. What they learn on the court or on the field helps enhance their abilities, time management and organization and being able to work well under pressure, work well in team situations. But in order for somebody that's not involved in athletics to see how those two work hand in hand with each other, I think a great point average is a nice window in there. They're putting those, some of the things that they learn through athletics into the classroom. And that's evidenced by the fact that statistically speaking, if you're a student athlete, you're going to have close to a point higher GPA than a general student population. And again, if you look at that percentage that you mentioned, that means that our students are taking care of business, or our athletes are taking care of business in both arenas that they're taking part in their college time.
Yeah, 33% of student athletes this fall made the Dean's List here at Mount Mary University. As you said, it's 3.6 or higher. 75% of the student athletes at Mount Mary had a 3.0 or higher. And that, I mean, the Dean's List, you gotta love that, but nearly, I mean, 3 out of every 4 student athletes is really getting the job done. And that's what it's all about, is it not?
Well, and that's staggering to me, because now you got your softball kids in there who obviously haven't played their sport yet. So they've been able up until this point to focus on just their studies. But out of that 75%, the lion's share of those kids were playing their sport during the first semester. Matter of fact, all of them but softball were. And softball did a fall season as well. So it's not like we're talking about kids whose season hasn't started yet, and so, you know, those numbers are bumped up a little bit. Those are the kids that were, you know, hey, 2 hours at practice or a full weekend road trip, and I've got this exam coming up, and I've got to tell this professor. A lot of times they got to do their exams or their papers ahead of time to make up for the fact that they're going to be gone for a game. So these are kids that are taking care of business and doing all of these things right away. And when you give to the youth, you look at our rosters and the youth, some of them are be able to do this as freshmen, which I think is a real testament to their abilities.
All right, Coach, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. We're going to talk a little more in depth about the 2014-15 MMU basketball season. We'll be right back here, Mount Mary University Sports Network.
There are over 360,000 NCAA student athletes, and just about all of us will be going pro in something other than sports. The NCAA reminds us to ask ourselves, what will we do? Over the last 100 years, the NCAA has helped millions of student athletes find their power outside the field, court, and rink. NCAA, celebrating 100 years of student athlete.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
All right, we're back here, Mount Mary University podcast with Coach Mark Heidorf. You got a lot.
Not AD, right?
Not AD.
I'm changing hats.
Coach. You're just the coach.
Keep the same pants on.
Yeah, don't fire yourself here. This is all about just basketball. Let's just talk about it. So, Coach.
Why would you bring that up? Let's talk season review and you're already talking about firing me.
Well, I don't want to bring up last season, but I'm going to. 1-19. In 2013-14, and a heck of a turnaround, 2014-15, 5-23 we ended at?
5-18, sir.
5-18.
Come on now.
I'm adding all these numbers together, looking at a lot of stats.
Fundamentally, you're the sports information director.
Yes,
right?
But fundamentally, there's a lot of numbers being thrown out at me.
Got to
keep them
three.
Straight.
At least three.
Three a night. So, Coach, huge turnaround, but what do you contribute mostly to that turnaround? That 1-5 wins might not sound a lot from the outside, but knowing basketball and knowing what it actually takes, what was the biggest turnaround?
I think the focus is back on basketball. And that fires me up to be a part of it. And we knew when we got here, and well, I knew when I got here, and then when we talked to recruits that we had a big task in front of us. I mean, maybe more so than any other program in D3, because we came into a situation where there wasn't even a season the year before. And I hate bringing that up at this point. It's been 18, 19 months, and one of the things that I'm really excited about is I think we're on the tail end of even talking about that. It still bears mentioning when you talk about what does a 5-win season mean. Well, in the grand scheme of things, it means that you lost way more games than you won. But in context, 2 seasons ago, we didn't even have enough to play. Last season, we got a season under our belts. You stop having to answer some of those annoying questions like, are you going to have a season this year? Are you think you're going to win a game this year? I think our kids... And the kids really embraced that too and said, we're gonna close out the noise and just try to make ourselves better. Let's play our best basketball in February.
Well, you definitely want to get away from talking about that season we had to cancel, but when you really look at it, last season was more not even a rebuilding year, if you can even call it that, with the few recruits that you had come. But this year you had a lot of recruits. They made a lot of impact on your team. Do you see that as being the new theme in Mount Mary basketball, getting these young players, getting them on the court and building it that way?
Well, I mean, that's something that we have to offer right now. I think that, you know, the way we recruited a Chrisander Freeman, an Aaron Russell, a Jasmine Meyer, a Becky Onan, we told them, hey, listen, you get 4 years to play college basketball. We're going to give you a chance to see the court. Now, we don't guarantee you're going to get on the court, but you're going to have a chance to see it. And that's a double-edged sword. Because you have to, you're going to wind up making a lot of errors. I mean, in some ways, we weren't ready to be on the court 35 minutes a game as we pushed some of them to. And you have to have the mental toughness to be able to push through a lot of the struggles that you didn't have. I mean, these are kids that really had success when they were at the high school level. That's what's got them playing college ball right now. How do you handle some of those setbacks and some of the things you aren't ready for? A couple of years from now, we're going to be able to say, hey, we've got Chrisander Freeman. She's been a starter for 3 years. We've got Becky Onan's been playing her entire career. You're going to sit behind them. You're going to learn how to play this game at this level, Mount Mary basketball. And then when they've graduated, you're going to be able to carry on that torch. So it's a little bit different pitch. Some have their both of them have their benefits and both of them have their drawbacks. What these kids were able to do in powering through this year and getting through, I mean, yes, there were 5 wins. There was also some pretty extreme losses as we continue to make that transition. And for them to keep getting up, I think speaks to the hard work and the tenacity and the type of people we want to build this program with.
Well, let's talk about that, Coach. Your team notorious for getting knocked down and then getting back up. Let's go to the first Illinois Tech game. One of the favorite games I had this season, watching it online. Let's just have you go over it. Most people probably know what happened, but from your eyes, why don't you just kind of recap that game and kind of what it meant to you guys this season?
Well, and our second win of the season, and that was the first time that we were able to overcome in-game adversity, I really thought. We got off to a quick start in that game and then really fell apart towards the end of the half, gave up a 23-7 run. We're down by 8. Really did not play ball at all, and the players were challenged maybe more so than any other halftime. We really got on them at halftime because we felt that we were more talented, but we weren't playing like it. We were playing more individualistic. And we've had those situations previously, and it's some of the growing pains that we talked about before that you go back to the drawing board, you talk about it the next day when calmer heads are prevailing, you work on it, and you see if you can go into next game zone. But this was one time where we were able to make an adjustment mentally at the half. And so we came out firing and really just had that never say die attitude when there were a lot of opportunities for it. I mean, that's a team that led us the entire second half. We finally tie the game up. They come down and hit an off-balance shot with 14 seconds left to go, then press us. Then with 3 seconds left, we've got a person on the free throw line with the game on the line, and she knocks those free throws down and then obviously win the game, in overtime. So when you've got to stay mentally strong and come back and come back and come back, I think they learned something about themselves that really set the tone for the rest of the year. The next time we were in a situation like that, we now had a foundation of knowledge that we could come back and overcome that.
I think if you look at the box scores from that point on, you can pretty much see first half, your opponent scoring about, you know, whatever it is, X amount at 50 to 60% from the floor, almost without question, the second half, it's going to be less than 60% of what they were putting up in the first half. And percentage-wise on the floor, you guys cut that down to about 30, if not lower.
Well, there was progress. I get excited about it because I see where we were at. But I also don't want to kid myself into thinking that we don't have a ways to go. And the kids understand that, too. They're not satisfied with five wins. They're happy because it's a clear sign of progress. People want it to be black and white, cut and dry. Well, we can point to wins and say we progressed. Now, I think we've progressed more than five wins would indicate with numbers like you stated. You know, if you look at last year and this year with a much, much younger team and a smaller roster, I mean, we played games due to injuries and some other reasons. We played with six, seven players most of the time. We improved stat-wise across the board. Field goal percentage was up. Defensive field goal percentage was down. Our free throw percentage was up. We made over almost 100 more free throws than our opponents made on the season. And that's with us still, with losing 18 games. You know, there's no reason for winning teams to foul you. Turnovers were down. Points per game was up. Opponents' points per game were down. I mean, it was literally almost across the board our numbers improved. So the five wins was nice, but I look at those other stats and really see, some of the things we were able to accomplish. And now the challenge is to continue to progress on that plane.
Well, some of the little things you talk about. First sweep you guys have had against Illinois Tech since 2011-2012, before that canceled season. And Cassandra Freeman just playing her heart out this year. Five double-doubles. That's the first time in my time that I've seen a student do that in one season. I looked at the records. I couldn't find anyone who had more than three. So pretty special to have that in one of your youngest players on the team.
Seafree really, emerged, and she's going to be tough to stop. She presents matchup problems because she can hit from outside. She can also post up. I actually think she's a much better post player. And as she gains, and you could see throughout the season, as she gains confidence and can have some consistency with her mental approach, I think the only person that can stop her is her. And a lot of the players showed that. Becky Onan had a great – what Becky Onan did this year on a surgically repaired knee and a softball – or in a soccer season right before we played was unbelievable. Jasmine Meyer was our most consistent scorer the last nine games of the season. She was our only scorer that finished in the top three of our scorers every game in those last nine games. Taylor Baumgarten and Shandrika Richardson were in situations where they're sophomore, second-year players being asked to be leaders of a team while still trying to, improve on their games. And I think they worked really hard to try to accomplish that and set a tone of consistency amongst the program for the whole season. So all of them, they had to work. And then on top of that, they had to learn each other and become a team as opposed to a collection of individuals.
Well, Coach, what do you mark down as the most memorable moment of this year?
Most memorable moment. Well, we talked about the IIT game, and the wins were nice. I think the thing that I'm going to remember is how well this team got along. It may have been one of the few high points of having a smaller roster is that you do have less personalities to shuffle. But we don't accomplish what we need to without these guys getting along and really working with each other. And that's tough to do, to build that family relationship when they're all coming from, it's almost like an all-star team, one year. There's not those juniors and seniors that you have that say, this is the way things are done, do this for a little while. They're kind of all learning that as they go. So for them to get along and gel really helped us in terms of improving at the rate that we wanted to do so.
All right. This is Coach Mark Heidorf. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. And recap things, send you on your way. We'll be right back. Mount Mary University Sports Network. Stay tuned, folks.
There are over 400,000 NCAA student athletes. And just about all of us will be going pro in something other than sports.
All right, welcome back, folks. Ryan Larson here, Mount Mary University. First ever podcast for you Blue Angels fans here with, let's just call you Mark.
Yeah, no. Go from AD. I'm working my way down the ladder.
Yeah, you're just
I'll just be a guy in a room by the second week of this thing.
Well, hopefully not.
You don't want me in the room? Or
That's what I was hinting at. Didn't have very to say
subtle,
it out loud.
Very
yeah.
subtle, yes.
You caught me. So, Coach, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of sports. I know you got a couple things on your mind. Don't want to hear anything about your Cubs, I'll tell you that right now.
Too early for that?
Too early, because the Brewers are not doing what I want them to do in the free agency.
Cubs and I are not back together yet. We're like, we're meeting.
How could you not be?
We're on the relationship equivalent of getting a cup of coffee after a bad breakup. So it could lead to something, might not lead to anything. We don't know yet.
So then what was the breakup, can I ask? Was it
the breakup
Bartman,
was
or?
No, it was a couple years after when Zambrano started losing his mind and they'd lose in the first round. They were just totally unlikable. We broke
with
up.
Soriano and that
yes.
whole group when they made the playoffs,
no,
he broke up
shortly after that, like when they still had the talent, but they were
the heart was gone.
But the heart was gone, and they were just totally unlikable.
Well, I'm glad you jumped ship. So
you see that I slipped in the Cubs talk, even though you said no Cubs talk.
I know you. Well, you're the boss, so let's be honest, you're gonna get what you want. Kevin Stallings making the headlines here, talking. Kind of how you talk to me. No.
That's how rumors get started.
Yeah. Let's take that off right away.
Come on now.
Being a little forthright, I should say, with this player and facing some criticism from the public.
That was a story that it's got layers to it. And I think in the 24-hour news cycle, because at first glance, I only saw the headline. And if you don't know the story, he's the coach over at Vanderbilt that said something that got caught on tape to one of his players. Basically said, I'll expletive kill you during line. And the question immediately became is, how long is he going to get suspended for something like this? And you didn't really hear any context. It was like, so this is, you hear the headline, you immediately think, okay, this is another Bobby Knight coach. This is another Rutgers coach, situation. And then you hear a little bit of context. Well, he was yelling at one of his players because he was taunting the other team, or he had heard that he was taunting the other team. I've been in situations like that. You know, as a coach, you sit there and when you win and you get a big win, you don't want anything to ruin the night. You immediately have to be cognizant of, are you showing up the other team? Being at Mount Mary, we've been, you know, that shoe has been on the other foot, you know, many times where we sit there and go, boy, you know, if I'm down or if I'm up 50 points, am I still pressing with, you know, 6 minutes left? You know, if we get a big win, do I really want to sully it by a potential fight breaking out in the handshake line? And that's when this, you know, took place. So I understand coaches, you know, getting fired up right away after that, saying, we just got a big road win against an in-state rival, and you are giving them a reason, you know, more to hate us or to look like we're unprofessional and unsportsmanlike. I think his choice of words could have been a little bit better, but I understand that urge of letting him know in front of everybody, this is completely unacceptable. Why get me mad when we should be incredibly happy right now? The question that, you know, that I think everybody's asking, and you know, I'm interested in your take, is he wound up not getting suspended by the school. They basically looked at the situation, said, you know, I don't know what the decision went into it, but he, now is that something, now from a bystander, if you're sitting in a gym and you hear me yell, and it's a little bit different maybe, but you hear a coach yell, I'll expletive kill you, what are you thinking?
You know, if you hear the crickets and then you just, that's the only thing you
that's
hear.
It.
Then, yeah, I would be concerned at the moment, but I think anyone, fans alike, if you've been to a couple football games, high school football games, college football games, varsity-level basketball, high school, college, you've heard coaches say
sure. Things
like this. It's not going to make headlines. Not a lot of people hear it, but you're walking by a certain assistant coach who is fed up with his offensive line, and you might hear him call a guy a certain name. And I'm not saying it's right, but I think to an extent, I mean, how many parents tell their kid that and they have no intent? Clearly, they're not all these parents are going out killing their kids. They're just saying, you know, that's enough.
Yeah.
And I guess
I you think people have more problem with the expletive or the word kill?
I think it's the kill.
I think it's the kill, too. It's got to be the kill, right?
I mean, if they're going to suspend some coach for saying an expletive.
Yeah. Well, Ryan would be
there's not going to be many coaches left.
Not at that level.
A couple preschool teachers might have to, you know, take charge of the NCAA by the time that's done. So, I mean, it cannot be at all the word, the expletive, I guess, is the best way to put it. It can't be the expletive as much as it is the intent to murder, I think.
What some people might have a concern with.
The potential premeditation, you think.
Right.
It's not I'm going to manslaughter you.
Right. But, you know, if anything could happen, you don't want that to be up on Twitter after the fact.
So do you suspend him or no?
I don't think you suspend him. Yeah. I think you kind of put him aside and... I mean, the coach knows he can't be saying that,
sure.
And I think he knows that, too, as soon as he let that out. That's just one of those things where when it's coming out, you know it's the wrong choice of words.
Yeah. You're trying to grab your words as, no, yeah. No, yeah, and I think there's some context involved as well. You know, what is it? If it was a Bobby Knight, yeah, he probably gets suspended, you know, at some point. If it's somebody like a Dick Bennett who, you know, yeah, gets fired up, but obviously is one of those guys that, you know, was a peaceful coach. Yeah, so, I mean, there's context involved as well, and I'm sure that's what got taken into account over at Vanderbilt.
And, I mean, there are coaches who are just... They might say that, and I'm sure the Vanderbilt scene, he was angry. But there's coaches who will say that exact phrasing, not upset, and you will never hear. Like, Hayes, I'm going to kill you if you ever take that layup again from the right side with the left hand.
There's some coaches that can get away with that.
Right.
It's part of their... And everybody you know immediately that, you know, that's more the way they talk than it is any kind of actual threat.
But when you scream it, D1, with the expletive... You're going to hear a couple things after the game.
It may come up again. It may come up again, yeah.
Well, Coach, thank you very much.
This will be fun. We should do this again.
We should do this.
Weekly? I think weekly.
We're going to try. We'll see what we can do. You got your tips next year. Don't say anything to your players after the game.
Okay.
Kevin Stone
style. I can curse at them.
Just don't.
Just no
murder.
Nothing.
Bodily harm.
No
keep
felonies.
It up. Yeah. Felonies. Misdemeanors, fine. You want to...
Misdemeanors.
Yeah. Leak the air out of their tires.
I will even burglarize you.
Depends what you steal, but yes. You got the right idea.
All right,
folks. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ryan Larson. This is Coach AD Person.
Person.
Mark Heidorf, thanks for tuning in. We will see you again. Thank you.
It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day. We hope you enjoy your stay. Outside the sun is shining, it seems like heaven ain't far away. It's good to have you with us.